Here's your host, Spencer Wilson.
Football's here!
Finally.
Oh, man. It is Friday. It is finally. Football Friday is back.
Football Friday.
Oh, everyone's got it. You can just feel it around the city of Reno. People are getting ready. They're excited. They're pumped.
I'm pumped. Are you pumped?
Oh, I'm extremely pumped. I wish I could go to the game tonight. I won't be able to. I'll be here helping with the broadcast. But very, very excited about football season finally getting underway.
I am too. It's the best time of the year.
It really
is. It's like Christmas
is.
For me. For 6 months. I'm great, you know?
We're going to have head coach Jay Norvell on the program a little later in the show. He was nice enough to join us earlier this week. Got to take a breath here and just kind of relax myself, getting a little excited for the fact that it's football season again. Let's talk, before we get into football, and we will for the most part the second half of the show, let's again focus a little bit here on local sports, because the 1868 and the Aces, more the Aces are in their home stretch, although the 1868 I believe only have about 6 or 7 games left in their regular season as well. But the Aces coming down, they have 4 games remaining. This weekend is the final homestand. They just got back from Salt Lake, where they had their final road series of the year. And 4 games. Very cool, actually. The season ends on Labor Day.
Yeah, that's really
pretty
nice.
Cool.
It's different this year.
Yeah, so. it's nice to have kind of a holiday celebration there at the end of the season. Tough couple of past series for the Aces, but, you know, when you're in the position that they are, you're not necessarily in playoff contention anymore, and your major league affiliate is. We've seen a fair amount of call-ups. We'll probably see some more before all is said and done. So I don't know how much you kind of take these last few games in that scenario.
Yeah, it's really hard to lose some of your best players to go up there. So, I mean, Christian Walker went up. A few players got let go or traded into free agency. Certain things are happening. So you're right. With us not being in playoff contention, that's what they're doing. They're just trading off or letting go, getting ready for the next season.
Getting ready for that next move. The Aces just got back from their final road trip. It was a long one. Took them to Tacoma, through Albuquerque, and then Salt Lake. They fell to the Tacoma Rainiers 2-1 in that series. They were able to take the first game 3-2, and then proceeded to lose 1-11, then 0-3 in the next two, and then went to Albuquerque, split that series 2-2 with a very good Isotopes team. Lost the first game 1-2, but then took the next two games 5-3 and 7-6 before losing a heartbreaker 8-9 in the final game there, and then went at Salt Lake again. A lot of talent here on the West Coast this year. They had to play against 6-10. They lost the first game 3-4, but they ended off on a very good note. But let's take a little bit more of a look at this series. Look at the start of this one. It was a solid start for the Reno Aces. They took a 2-0 lead after the first inning, but we've seen this problem kind of all year where they haven't been able to kind of keep that lead. And through the next couple of innings, Salt Lake was able to put 8 runs on the board. They had an 8-3 lead after 3 innings, and it's, again, then kind of becomes a 50-50 game. Can the Aces get back into it? Can they not? They were able to put a little bit of juice into it. They took they brought it back 8-6. I think after the 6th inning, they were able to do that. So, again, keeping it close. And then in the 8th, again, Salt Lake just kind of was able to pull away for the final time, took a 10-6 lead, and that ended up being the final score. However, Jose Calles had a 3-hit night for the Aces, while Fuentes, Brito, Owings, and Vargas all had a 2-hit night. So plenty of offense going around in that game, but just unable to kind of bring those guys back. Although they did put 6 runs up on the board.
It was a high-hitting contest, that's for sure, on both sides.
Payampas had a rough start, just going 2-2, up 11 hits, 7 earned runs, and 3 home runs. We've seen that kind of inconsistency with the starting lineup kind of all season, but, I mean, when it's been really good, it's been just, I mean, untouchable. There have been games where the starter, I mean, regardless of who it is, can go 6-7 innings and just look like you can't touch them that night.
Right, right. And, you know, it really, I've heard some of the players talk, you know, during faith nights or whatever it is, so they get to really talk, and usually they get asked baseball questions, you know, like how hard it is for these players to get ready or what makes a good day versus a bad day. And basically all they say is, like, you know, you could wake up and you could, if you don't feel it, you're not going to throw it. But if you feel it, you're probably going to have a good game. So that's probably happening a lot through these last few games, the last series, since you aren't in playoff contention anymore. You're kind of like, well, I need to work on the things that I wasn't producing well, so we just need to work on mechanics again, you know?
Yeah, there comes a point where you start to look for the next year and start to really fine-tune things going into the break and then come back even stronger. Game two got off to a little bit of a slower start offensively. Salt Lake got one in the bottom of the third. The Aces got that run back in the sixth inning. They tied it up 1-1. Then Salt Lake got a run in the seventh before Reno got two in the eighth. Then the Bees were able to tie it up again 3-3. Before Salt Lake scored in the 10th to take it 4-3. And that's a tough win, or a tough loss, I should say. But we've seen Reno have a fairly good outcome in extra inning games this year. Again, you get to the end. Who knows who's playing? Who knows kind of what the strategy is? Are you trying to keep guys a little healthier to get called up after the season's over? You never know. But it was still a very competitive contest. They were just fighting on the road, which is what you have to do. And sometimes it just goes that way. But they were able to come back. Game three, they avoided a sweep. Last road game of the year. Obviously, you want to pick up a win there, have some good momentum coming off the road at the end of that season. Salt Lake scoring one in the second, and the Aces scored one in the fifth. Again, a little bit of a slower start, 1-1. And that's how it went to extras. And then Scherfi was the Scherfi that we know.
Right.
Bases loaded, nobody out in the bottom of the 10th inning. And he gets a 3-2-3 double play, and then strikes out the next guy and keeps him off the scoreboard.
Right. They got one run in the bottom of the 11th, but that was all they got.
Yes. Yeah, in the bottom of the 11th.
Right.
Right, yeah. So Scherfi closes the door in the 10th, and then the Aces get two in the 11th. And then, again, you want to see that door shut. They did only allow one run, but that's the door that you want to see him just go, nope, you're not coming back. Close it out. But they were able to do so. They won 3-2. They lost the series. They were able to win the first game at home. Last game on the road. I don't know.
Last game on the road.
Still trying to get my thoughts put in order here. But again, like we said, their last season series starts tonight against Albuquerque, who they just split a four-game series with 2-2 in their second of those three road series on their road trip. Jake Buchanan is set to start for the Aces. So, Sean, I want to get your opinion on something real quick. We saw some new rules in AAA this year and last year. We saw, obviously, the clock get introduced, now the mound visits, and then you had the extra inning change with the guy getting put on second base. So, of those, how do you kind of think those have panned out? Which ones do you think you like more, and which ones don't you?
All right, so the time clock is the biggest issue, or the biggest one that I like, because I mean, I've been to games where it lasts 6 hours.
It solves the biggest issue, you think.
You don't want to be at a game for 6 hours. If you're at a game for 6 hours, you're probably sunburnt. You're probably exhausted. Your kids are sleeping. You don't even want to be there anymore. And then you're just waiting for the two-hour traffic delay to get out of the stadium. So that always helped. The second base, putting a guy on second base in extra innings, I get it why they did that. But at the same time, it gives the home team a really big advantage. Because you don't get that as the away team. You only get that as the home team. So you go into the bottom of the inning and the extra innings, and you have someone start on second.
No, you get that as the visiting team. Yeah. Once you get to the 10th inning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, it's very interesting to see. Because if you have teams like the Aces who have had trouble bringing people in from any scoring position, that doesn't really help. But then you have teams like, I think that's how they won in the second game, how Salt Lake won in the second game. They had the guy on second, got a good hit, got the game over, right? So I get why they did it, to make it faster so we don't go into 20 extra innings, you know. But at the same time, I kind of liked having it, you know, extra innings continues the game. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think the pitch clock definitely helps speed it up. I don't think the mound visits really did what they were hoping it was going to do, because you could go a whole game really without visiting the mound.
Right.
I mean, if your guy's struggling out there and he gives up 11 hits in an inning, that's just going to take a while to get through. So I don't think that helped. I understand why baseball purists got mad at them putting an extra guy on second, but at the same time, I'm okay with it happening in the regular season, even at the major league level, because during the regular season, we all have more games to get to.
Right.
I mean, if this is the first game of a 8-game road trip and you don't have a day off on that road trip and you play 18, 19 innings the first game, I mean, that's just going to drain you. So I get trying to speed everything up in the regular season. But when it comes to postseason, I agree. You got to let them just play baseball.
Right.
No extra runner out there. Once you get to the playoffs, you play baseball like traditionally played. But when it is in the regular season, I'm fine with it. Because, I think we talked about this earlier, too. It's not just, hey, sacrifice bunt, sacrifice fly, we got him in. I mean, look at Scherfey had the bases loaded and they didn't score with nobody right. out and they didn't score. So I would say that, again, I don't want a ton of clocks, but I think one or two clocks on a pitcher, on a batter would definitely help the game speed up. And I think you can just ditch mound visits. I don't think that's – I think they were kind of hoping that would either speed it up or add a little drama, and it did neither.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It did neither.
You'd go through an entire game without a pitching change.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's kind of where we are with baseball. We'll you know, I encourage everybody to get out there for these last four home games for the Aces. Give them your support. Show them what they mean to this city, because they are doing great things for this city and for all the fans here. Now let's talk about the other team that's occupying Reno here, the 1868 FC. They had a fun last weekend, I should say. They went into rivalry week. They had Sacramento and Las Vegas coming to town Saturday and Tuesday. A little bit of a rough start to rivalry week. Sacramento got the better of them. It was a good game, though. In front of a great crowd, 7,103 people were in the stadium that night for
packed.
That game. You were there for that
it
game.
It was packed. By the time the game was over, you couldn't even see the field. There was so much smoke in the air. Just
yeah.
Just because everything was going off. I mean, the band that they have, that thing, is going good.
That thing?
I don't understand it as much. I'm getting into it more.
Yeah.
I understand it more. And when I'm watching it, I'm like into it, you know?
It helps, right?
But I mean, something I've never seen them add extra minutes in the first half. That was something I've never seen before, so that was very interesting.
Usually just you don't see them add a whole lot. Usually it's just a minute, because most of the time they'll just save it for all at the end of the game.
Right.
But I think if it gets to a point where it's like, when they're like, okay, we can't really let this go because they haven't played like 3 minutes this half, then they'll add it on. But yeah, you don't usually see that added on to the first half.
And it was a close game. It was very nail-biting. Everyone really enjoyed themselves. You could tell. I mean, it was – I've never seen so many people there for a soccer game. It was intense.
I'm telling you, from where this team was their first game last year to the following they have now, it's like we've mentioned it before, but you would have think they've been here for a decade or so. It's crazy.
Easily.
But like you said, like Sean mentioned, they were going head-to-head there in the first half. It was a scoreless draw through the first half. And early in the second, Sacramento was able to take a 1-0 lead. And about 15 minutes later, they took a 2-0 lead. And you see that when Reno gives up goals, they come in stretches like that. About 15 to 20 minute stretches, they allow one, they're kind of vulnerable to take the other. I think, not knocking Ian Russell's offense at all, but it's just that aggressive offense. So when you let a goal in, you obviously want to get back and get that goal back. And I think, you know, when you do that, you kind of open yourself up. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it does come back to haunt them. But then in the 75th minute, who else but Brian Brown? This guy is the MVP for this team this year, in my opinion. But he was able to draw a penalty kick, which... I'm sorry, Seth. Seth, he's a great guy. He finished it off to make it 2-1. And that game saw two debuts, actually, for Reno, with Will Seymour and Gilbert Fuentes coming on in the second half. So congratulations to those two guys for making their Reno debut. So coming off a tough 2-1 loss, you got Vegas coming in. They drew with Vegas in their first meeting earlier this year down in Las Vegas. So how is this going to react? Well, Reno bounced back very, very nicely. They looked good early. Brian Brown scored in the 5th minute. Just talked about him, so I won't say a lot again. But it's his 12th goal of the season. Reno had a half lead of 1-0 lead at the half. But again, Vegas, first couple minutes of that second half, was able to score it to tie it up 1-1. And then JT Marcinkowski in goal was shutting the door right and left on these guys in the second half. Did a great job keeping that game level, keeping Reno in it, and really making sure their offense could just go down the field. And then Antoine Hopknot scored in the 90th plus 4th minute. That is like almost at the buzzer to give Reno a 2-1 lead. They won the game. They stay in 6th ahead. Well, they just stay in 6th. I was going to say ahead of Fresno, but that's not who they're ahead of. That's who they play next. They will play them actually tomorrow down in Fresno. They will play that game, but they do still keep their 6th place spot. So as the Aces close out their season, continue to support them. They're going to have, I believe they have a fireworks show tonight. And they'll have, I think, Didi Gregorius night is Saturday?
Huh?
And they're doing a Didi Gregorius bobblehead night. I want to say it's Saturday. I could be wrong about that, but it is going on this weekend. So be sure to get out there, support them, and continue to support the 1868 as they come down their home stretch of the season. When we come back from the break, Coach Jay Norvell will join us on the phone. kind of, and we'll talk about some other Wolfpack sports that are going on right now. This is the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Spencer Wilson Show.
Welcome back inside the studio. Before we get to the Coach Norvell interview, just want to let everybody know we have Scorpions
with Queen Strike tickets.
I was gonna let you finish it off there, man. I don't think your mic is on there.
My mic's
there
not on.
There we go.
So we're going to be giving away Scorpions and Queen Strike tickets at the end of the segment, so stay tuned, guys.
Yes, stick around. You're not going to miss those. But first, before we get to that, earlier this week, obviously, it's a very busy week for Nevada football, seeing as how this is their first game week. But we were lucky enough to get Coach Norvell on the phone for a few minutes, and this was how our conversation sounded.
All right, joining us on the phone now from Nevada football, head coach Jay Norvell. Coach, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's exciting. We're in the first week leading up to the first game. Now that we are actually in that first week, is it a different feel kind of in the locker room, or are you still trying to keep everybody kind of status quo going up into the first game?
No, it's exciting. I just had a meeting with our captains, and you know, there's a lot of hard work and anticipation that goes into playing a football season. It's, you know, we're the only sport you can't go out and just play. I mean, you can go play baseball, you can play basketball, you can play a lot of different sports, but you can't really go out and play a game of football. You only get 12 opportunities a year, and so most of the time we're lifting weights and running sprints, and so to get an opportunity to play is a very special thing, so we're excited about that.
And speaking about the game coming up that you are getting ready to play, you guys are going up against Portland State, a team that Nevada has had a really solid record against, 6-2 overall and 3-1 here in Reno. What kind of confidence does that give you to open up against a team that you have that kind of history against?
It's been a long time since Nevada's played Portland State. I think it's been 42 years. I was talking to Coach Ault about that. I think it was Coach Ault's first year as a head coach when he played Portland State, and that's when June Jones and Miles Davis were there. And so, you know, it's just it's an opportunity to compete. You know, we're very excited about playing at home in Mackey and playing a good opponent, and it's more about us getting ready to start the season than anything else.
And it has been a long time. You're correct about that. And in that kind of a situation, how do you keep this team from possibly playing down to a level of a team like Portland State? Not to take anything away from their program, but how do you keep them just focused on doing what you want them to do and staying committed to the task at hand in a game like this, especially when it's the first game of the year?
It's more about respecting the opportunity to play, and our kids are anxious to play a football game. You know, we've talked a lot about that, about our season. We looked at different games last year. You know, we looked at the Idaho State game, and that was a game we started very poorly in and didn't play well. And it's more about this football team and the maturity of this team. And we're chomping at the bit to get going. I think our guys will be ready to play, but we've talked about all those different kinds of scenarios.
Right, Coach Sean here. So I'm going to ask you a question that's kind of football related, but we're going to kind of step away from are you ready for the big game or any of these kind of questions. I want to know, before the game, do you keep the team together? Are you guys all together, or do you kind of like separate? What's your, you know, pregame ritual to get ready and get, you know, prep for this game, either the night before or leading all the way into the game?
Well, I mean, that's, there's a lot to that question. I mean,
I know it's a big question.
We absolutely keep our team together. I was just meeting with our captains about that, and we go to a hotel the night before. We spend a lot of time together. We have meetings. We'll go to a movie this week. We go to movies at home games. We spend the night together, just try to relax. Then we'll have a night meeting after the movie, and I just kind of sit down with the team and talk about the important things that there are that we have to think about this game to win. And then after that, the captains will actually take the team and talk to them about some things that are important, you know, getting rest the night before the game, you know, keeping it as a business trip. You know, I think they're going to talk to the team about having a great sideline, being positive for each other, taking one play at a time, starting fast in the first quarter, starting fast in the second quarter, and having a four-quarter mentality. You know, those are all the things that we want to think about as we mentally prepare for the game. And our captains are really incremental, and they're really important in making that point with the team and reminding the team. So it's a great time. It's time to get focused for the opponent. You know, we put our cell phones down, and you know, we get off the social media, and we kind of think about what's really important with the game. And so those are all kind of things that we do the last 24 hours before a game.
And, Coach, you've mentioned that you've just come from having a conversation with your captains. What kind of goes into that conversation? Is it more just kind of expectations from them and their teammates that they kind of look over? Or what's that conversation like?
Well, we talked a lot about, you know, what kind of team we want to be. And we've talked an awful lot about being a very business-like group, just taking the drama out of the day-to-day and really focusing on what's important. And, you know, we have a saying around here, you know, we just want to play the next play. And that's just kind of being in the moment, taking a lot of the emotion out of the situation and really focusing on what's important at that moment. And so we want our captains to be that way. And you know, we want to be a group that acts more than they talk about. We don't want words to be very strong around here. We want to let our actions speak louder than words. So, you know, we've had a really blue collar approach to what we do and how we handle our business and our leadership. We want our leadership to reflect that.
And this being the first game, how loose do you get with the play calling? Will we see a trick play or two, or is it just trying to nail home kind of the basics that you want to achieve throughout the season?
I don't know. I don't know if you've watched us play at all last year. I mean, we're going to call the game the way we call it.
Yeah.
We're going to be aggressive in every way. So I would expect more of the same of what we did last year. I mean, there's no – we only get 12 games, so there ain't no sense of being conservative. So we'll try to we'll call it and play it and be as aggressive as we can be.
Well, I'm excited, Coach. I know all of us here at the station are. Everyone here in Reno is excited for this season, and we can't wait to see what happens Friday against Portland State.
Awesome. We hope everybody comes out to Mackey. This is going to be a really fun and exciting team to watch, and if you love football, I think you're going to like watching this football team.
Well, we can't wait. I mean, we can't wait. It's going to be a great game. I know you're going to take the W. I can't wait. I'm going to be watching the game. I'm going to go up there and watch it since I'm really not doing anything else. So let's just take it home. That's all it is.
Awesome. Yeah, we want everybody to come out and make Mackey rock.
We will. We're looking forward to it, Coach. Thank you very much for your time, and good luck this Friday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So big thanks again to Jay Norvell for taking some time to talk to us during this very, very busy week. I really appreciate it. Again, get out there, pack the Mac, get the Wolf Den rocking. They got six or seven home games this year. I think it's six. So get out there, support them, get loud, make this a tough place for people to come and try to win.
Yeah, make it so loud that it seems like it's the Seahawks and they can't even hear themselves on the field.
12th Wolf.
Yeah.
Let's go. 12th Wolf. But there are two other sports going on right now. I want to give you some quick updates on Nevada women's soccer. 3-0-1 out of the gate. Very nice start for the women Wolfpack. They beat Idaho 1-0 and then beat UC Davis 2-1. They then drew with Weber State 0-0 and then beat Southern Utah 2-1. So a very nice start for the women's soccer team. And women's volleyball also off to a very solid start. They're at the UC Davis Invitational. They beat NAU 3-1. And then beat Holy Cross 3-0. These are sets, by the way. So three sets to one, three sets to none. And then lost to UC Davis, the host, 3-0. So they are 2-1. Now heading towards the Northern Illinois tournament, where they will play Northern Illinois, Virginia, and Northern Kentucky. So we'll see what kind of momentum they can build. They're both off to very good starts. We'll have a couple more sports starting off here in the month of September coming up, and we can't wait to talk about those as well.
Cannot wait.
Speaking of which, though, it is football season, and when we come back, we're going to have a lot of football talk. But first, Sean's got something for the people.
We have a pair of tickets for the last chance to see Scorpions and Queensryche at the Outdoor Arena at Harvey's Lake Tahoe, today, August 31st.
Yeah.
As part of our celebration of being your sports station for 50 years with Lotus Radio, you have to pick up the tickets today or be able to get them since the show is tonight.
No later than 5:30. We'd prefer you're here by 5, but latest to be here is 5:30. So that goes to caller number 9 at 775-333-0945. Caller number 9 gets them. When we come back, we're talking NFL on the Spencer Wilson Show here on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Spencer Wilson Show.
Welcome back inside the studio. Let's talk some NFL.
Finally.
Yes.
I've been waiting forever. Spencer told me I couldn't speak NFL until we were like right there for it.
And where are we, Sean?
We're right there.
We're right there. This coming Thursday, the NFL season starts. But before we get to that, I know, but I don't want to be rushed for this at the end of the segment, so I just want to get it in there. We are going to do a very fun giveaway here on ESPN starting on Monday. Labor Day. Starting on Monday, Labor Day, we are going to do 3 qualifiers a day for Monday Night Football tickets for the first Raiders game of the year. Raiders host the Rams on the first week's Monday Night Football. Raiders host the Rams. We're going to give away 2 tickets with a $250 gift card to where, Sean?
Dollar Loan Center.
So you get 2 tickets and a $250 gift card to Dollar Loan Center. What we're going to do is Monday through Thursday, we will have 3 different qualifiers. That is just qualifiers, not winners, just qualifiers. So you call in, we'll keep your name. That happens Monday through Thursday. And then Friday, a member, I won't mention her name because I don't want to put her name out there, but our lady here that handles all of our promos and giveaways will give you a call or a text via phone. She'll contact you somehow through your phone and let you know that you've won and all that good stuff. So listen for your 3 qualifiers a day. I'm not sure exactly when they'll play. I'm guessing 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon, 1 closer to the evening. That's as much as I can give you is what I guess. But just pay attention and listen to those because it'd be a super fun experience. So speaking of the Raiders and the Rams, that's actually a great place to start because I just, Sean, want to get your overall expectations of what you think the 2018-19 NFL season will display and show us.
So I think it's going to be a heavy quarterback and a heavy running back season. So last year we had a running back season, really. A lot of breakout running backs, a lot of injuries that brought new breakouts, all this other things, right? This year with the
draft. I didn't even know who Alvin Kamara was before he started playing for New Orleans.
Neither did I.
I'm not ashamed to say that, but I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, after the first week, I picked him up on my fantasy team. On every team.
I'm sure a lot of people did after the first week or two.
Right, and he's also rated as being one of the best running backs for the 2018, especially with Ingram out for a couple games in the start. So, but in terms of just the draft, we had Barkley, we had a lot of great running backs, we had a lot of great quarterbacks come out of the draft. We have, I think it was Sam Darnold that's starting.
I mean, I don't think it's been made official yet, but it does sound like that, yes, the Jets, I mean, with them sending Bridgewater to the Saints, It's pretty much Darnold looking like their guy.
Right, and he's looked great through this preseason. I mean, everyone knows how we feel on preseason. We don't think there should be a preseason.
I wouldn't allow Sean to talk about football during the preseason. That shows you what I think about it.
the Rams are going to go off to a great start. You have Goff, you have a huge stack of wide receiver
Darnold
cores.
Just got paid on defense.
Yeah,
6-year contract
six-year
for Sam Darnold.
Deal. $135 million, $87 million guaranteed. Oh my God! I wish I could have that much money.
Can I sign that contract, please? Can I get that?
It's gonna be huge. I mean, a lot of trades happen, so you don't have these overpacked teams with just heavy stars. Everyone got traded out. Everyone's at different places. I'm pretty sure Cooks is on the Rams now, so you've got a huge wide receiver core with Kupp and all these other guys. So with the Rams, I think the Rams are gonna do some wonders. I think they're gonna push past what they did last year. So that's on them. Oakland, we'll see.
With Sam Darnold getting paid, and obviously Khalil Mack still is a holdout for the Raiders, now that Darnold, because they're not the same position, one's a lineman, one's a linebacker, but they both, I feel like, have the same presence on their team because they're the guy that you're going to look to when you need that shutdown play.
Right.
I mean, if it's not a passing play because they're they're not responsible for any wide receivers, or they're usually not responsible for any wide receivers. But I feel like they both have that same presence where it's like, all right, maybe we need you to go out there and help us get a big stop. So with Darnold now having his money on the Rams, if you're Khalil Mack, you haven't had pretty much any interaction with Gruden and the Raiders. How are you feeling as a big, one of the biggest members of his defense now still not getting paid? How do you think he feels?
I mean, I hope he's just not going after that big payday. Like we were talking during the break, I personally think the best people are the ones that don't look for that payday. The ones that get the payday and never asked for the payday. Those are the players that I like seeing getting a payday. Like Odell Beckham Jr., I don't care. Great, you got a big payday. Now prove it to us that you deserved it, because in my opinion, you're not the best.
Although I will give OBJ a little bit of credit for at least practicing and taking part while he was discussing his contact. Because I get why people hold out. You don't want to get injured before you get your money. But I got to feel like there's going to be a little bit of, maybe not a ton of rust, obviously, because they're young guys. They can get into shape pretty quickly, and they're very football IQ heavy. But I feel like when you just stay out, the longer you stay out, the more it's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. Even if you look at Dez Bryant, who still doesn't have a team, and now he's thinking he's going to take the first like couple weeks or first half of the season to kind of ease up. I even think that it's really going to be a loss for him, because him not being out there the first, whatever it is, 6, 7, 8 games, how are you just going to show up and all of a sudden be in game shape like these guys who've now played half their season? So I'm a little concerned if I'm Khalil Mack, that if like a month ago I knew that I wasn't going to get any real attention from Gruden and the Raiders, why not start looking elsewhere? Right. Like, go to your agent and be like, they haven't talked to me. I don't know if they've talked to you, but it doesn't sound like they want me here. So let's start looking elsewhere. And make the Raiders realize kind of what they realized when they lost Gruden. Well, we just lost a big piece that could really help us.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see, especially with the quarterback situation there with Carr and Goff. I feel like that'd be a really fun matchup. We mentioned Bridgewater. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Teddy Bridgewater
is on his way to New Orleans to essentially, as the kind of general feeling is, to sit behind Drew Brees for maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 more years. But he is basically set up to be the next guy when Brees leaves. So I feel like he's definitely he's definitely a solid quarterback, though.
When we saw him play, he was very solid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's had his championship glimmer moment where it's like, okay, I could see this guy winning a championship. But he's a solid player. But when you're going from someone like Brees and you're a young guy, almost kind of like Rodgers behind Favre, how do you think Teddy is going to handle that? Because he's on his third team now. He kind of got lost in the whole Vikings shuffle with his injury, then got put to New York, and of course, then bringing Darnold in, he kind of got displaced almost right away. Now he's going to be guaranteed the backup, but looks like has a spot in the future. What do you think that feels like for a relatively young quarterback?
I'm not entirely sure. They're two different, completely different play styles, you know, at least when we saw Bridgewater. We haven't seen Bridgewater play in years.
Really just be like a solid starter. He's gotten out there, but it's not like he's gotten out there to really stay out there.
Exactly.
He's just out there.
He was just there. We haven't really seen him play. So it's going to be interesting him going behind a true veteran and getting that experience. He didn't really get that experience when he was with Minnesota. So getting that experience now is really going to help him go. And if he stays with that, you know, it's going to be really good for New Orleans because they need that extra quarterback in the background for when Brees does leave. And they didn't have it before, so maybe they think they have it now. So we'll probably see him play a little bit, get his little rust off, see what they think of him and everything. But until that happens, we really can't put a firm thing on saying, is this the team that Bridgewater's going to stay at? Because they don't even know that. They were like, we know that we need another quarterback for when Brees either gets hurt or retires. So we needed to bring someone in. And Bridgewater was that next bet. You know, here's a kid who could potentially be a star that we could groom right behind Brees, and that could be it. So it all really depends. I'm just really interested in seeing Sam Darnold open the season with the Jets and seeing where that goes. That's
going to be very interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how all four of those 10 top 10 pick quarterbacks kind of maneuver their way around. We see Darnold getting ready to start. Rosen's been hot and cold down in Arizona. We don't really know if it's going to be him or Bradford. Probably is going to be Bradford to start. Mayfield, again, it sounds like, well, I don't know. I can't remember if Tyron, is he healthy now?
So
he's dealing with
a hand, or
a wrist.
He still has his hand injury, but I think he'll probably start. But the real question is how long he's going to start for, because Baker Mayfield looked great.
He looked good.
I think that's been one of the big talks is like, how long is Tyrod Taylor going to sit there and be in the starter before Baker Mayfield comes over, you know, takes him over, because that's the big thing in Cleveland. And Cleveland has like a stock team right now.
I mean, Cleveland kind of like silently, they're kind of like, I mean, I hate to compare them to this, but they're kind of like a silent deadly fart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't really know it's there until you smell it. I feel like Cleveland's just kind of quietly gathered this very talented, deadly team, and week one, and the NFL might be smelling it.
Right, yeah.
They might be getting a big whiff of Cleveland there.
Yeah, I think Cleveland's going to make an uproar. They're going to be that sleeper team, you know. They're all like, oh, it's Cleveland. We never have to worry about Cleveland. I think this year you kind of might have to worry about Cleveland a little bit on the offensive side. Their defense still needs some work.
Yeah.
On the offensive side.
Especially if they do end up adding Dez Bryant, seeing as how that's the last team that I've known he's had contact with, that could be really interesting.
It could be huge.
And it's also an interesting setup where you have the Mayfield-Taylor debate going on in Cleveland. But what about Lamar Jackson in Baltimore? So I feel like he hasn't been outstanding, but I feel like Flacco is on a very short rope, because since he won the Super Bowl back in 2012, he has looked nowhere near that level since. I mean, it feels like he fell off the next year and then just kind of stayed in that lull. So I think if Flacco comes out first 5-6 games, if it's even that, and struggles or just doesn't do well, if they're 2-4 or 1-5 or something like that, I could see John Harbaugh, there's been murmurs that he might be on the hot seat, mm-hmm. go, you know what? Let's try something different. Let's get a young, fresh guy in there. And what I like about Lamar Jackson, the stuff that I've seen, he hasn't been super quick to take off. I'm so nervous nowadays when quarterbacks decide to take off because they're being taught to slide. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's more dangerous than just learning to become a runner.
Right.
So I like to see Lamar. I like to see that from Jackson. I like seeing it from Mayfield, too. He's not – I mean, he was a quick guy in college, and he's not really super eager to take off out of the pocket as well.
Well, yeah, because they see all these guys taking off and getting hurt. They're like, you know what?
I mean,
what?
Look at RG3.
That's a prime example.
That sliding – that game against Atlanta, I will never forget that hit because it still sends a shiver down my spine when he goes right towards the sideline, slides, and just – boom, right to his head.
Right.
And he was never the same after that. So I love seeing guys that even though they're quick, they want to stay in the pocket and show what they can do. Because you think about Brady, Favre, Breeze, these guys that are having these long careers, what are they? Pure pocket passers. And those are the guys that are going to have those longevity careers. So if you want to make it in the NFL as a quarterback for a length of time, you're going to have to learn how to throw from the pocket. And I kind of like what I'm seeing from those younger guys right now.
Yeah, you got to learn how to work the pocket, because Rodgers is really good at working the pocket and then running when he sees that he's most likely not going to get hurt in that run, you know?
I think he's probably the best. He and Russell Wilson are some of the best scramblers.
Right.
And Roethlisberger, good scramblers. That's okay. But to not run, I think, is a really good thing.
I agree.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about college football culture and kind of the culture around college sports right now, because it seems to be in a very weird place. We're going to do that when we come back. This is the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Spencer Wilson Show. It's time for My Two Spenceworth.
Welcome back to the program. Let's talk a little bit right now, because as we just got done talking about, it's football season. So with that, there's going to be a lot of attention around that sport, both professionally and collegiately, as well as high school levels and whatnot. I mean, it's a big time of year for the country as a whole. With some of the rule issues and some of the controversies surrounding the NFL, I feel like most people, although there'll still be interest in that, they're going to want to turn towards college football because it's still kind of that old-fashioned style. You still can't hit anybody, I think, with, like, you know, your targeting and all that, but there's not the same lowering your crown rule in college as there is in the NFL. So I feel like people are going to start flocking even more towards college sports. And I'm worried about the state of mind that the NCAA as a whole is in. Think about kind of the last couple years. I mean, the Ohio State scandal that we are still going through and still feeling the reverberations from, with Zach Smith and the domestic violence case and him being fired and Myers being ridiculously suspended for 3 games, whatever kind of BS slap on the wrist that is. But we have that. You have Michigan State's handling with the whole Larry Nassar case. Then you had Baylor a few years back with their horrifying acts going on with recruiting players and whatnot. So I'm concerned about the way that NCAA as a whole is. Because, yes, these involve football, but they also involve gymnastics. And we've seen, obviously, the FBI shining a whole big light on the basketball world and what's been happening there. So I'm just concerned. I'm concerned that what's supposed to be this next level for these young athletes, both men and women, is starting to become more and more slimy and gross. And I know that it's been that way for a while, obviously. I mean, these new FBI allegations of people getting paid under the table and recruiters talking to agents and whatever, and that's going on forever. We finally got to see the real nitty-gritty of it, though, and it's a lot more alarming than I think everyone's kind of – I mean, we're shocked and we're disgusted, as we should be, but look at how we're all kind of talking about Ohio State, and then as soon as we talk about that for an hour or so, we jump back to everything else going on. Not that you can't do that, obviously. You shouldn't just harp on a whole app, but when it's just kind of moved along, like, okay, well, Zach Smith is fired, Myers got his suspension, and we're just going to move on from there and da-da-da-da-da, that's it. That's not it. This isn't going to make that problem go away, especially not some weird, lame three-game suspension for Myers. Honestly, I don't think he should have kept his job, not even in the slightest. Because he keeps saying he didn't lie. He blatantly lied. I don't know how he can even sit there and say he didn't lie. How he can say those words, I'm not even sure. I don't know how someone can physically pull that out of their system and say that when it's not true. And that's the kind of attitude that we have around these young men now. And I'm not saying that it's just football players, although most of the time those are the men that take center stage when it comes to these issues. But it's not them. I think it's this more this culture they're being brought up in. Not just the NCAA, you know, poop show that it is. Can't say the word I wanted to say. But it's just a mud show there. And we have to start setting lines firmly. Zach Smith fired. Good. He's gone. Myers should have been too. He's not. And that's a big problem because as much as Smith is the actual criminal in this thing, in this case, and with the domestic abuse and domestic assault and all that, one of the other half of the big issue is the role that Myers played, because he did not go and tell anybody. And that's the big problem. We have to get to a place where once you hear about that, it's not, oh, well, you know, it'll blow over. No, it's not going to blow over, especially in this case, because Myers said that he even tried to help Smith. He and his wife sat down with Smith to try and help them get through it, and it still didn't work. At that point, I understand it's tough because it's personal, but at that point, you have to put respects aside and realize that someone's well-being is in danger. And this guy, Zach Smith, is around young men. And you think about where these football players come from, not to say they all get special treatment, but when you have that potential, when you show that talent from an early age, people are going to start to put you on a pedestal, especially when it's around football. They're going to put you on a pedestal. And there has to be somebody there, because even if it's not against women, even if it, you know, let's take an 11-year-old kid that's a running back. Let's say he is just taking people by storm, and he's at school one day and just starts pushing kids over. But because he's going to be some phenom, everyone's like, hey, man, that's not cool. You shouldn't do that. But he keeps doing it. No one really cares. And as he gets older and those acts start to get a little more violent, it's the same thing. Hey, man, you shouldn't do that. But we're looking forward to seeing you on the field when you get back from your suspension. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Someone's got to be there and say, what you're doing is not okay. And when you have position coaches like this Zach, whoever at Ohio State, I don't even want to say his name anymore. But you have guys like him that are in coaching positions, and who knows how he's telling his players this or how he's bragging about how he's doing whatever to his wife or who knows. That's rubbing off on young men. And then when they go into the NFL and they get these million-dollar contracts, they feel even more untouchable. And again, you don't have that line of this is okay and this isn't. And I feel like the way the NCAA is handling all of these issues, from Nassar to Ohio State to Michigan State to Baylor, I mean, down the line, that's just like football-related stuff. I mean, except for the Nassar thing, but mostly it's all football related, but there's tons of other issues going on between basketball and football and recruiting and inside the NCAA. It's a mess. And they're trying to clean it up, but it's not something that's going to go away in a year or 2 years or 3 years. It's going to be a long process to wipe this clean if they can do it. And right now, we need to be careful with how we treat these young men coming up in this sport, in this environment, because it is an environment that breeds tension, animosity, and just violence, because you have to be that way. It's how football players are bred. It's a contact sport. It's a collision sport. But you have to be able to keep yourself in a good frame of mind. And I hope that we can see that more going forward in these young college athletes. That's the show.
That's the show.
Woo!
We made it.
Football season, get out there, pack the Mac, support the Wolfpack. It's going to be a lot of fun. Start of a football year, start of a great pack year. Can't wait to get out there.
It's going to be amazing.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at my2spenceworth.
You can just follow me in real life, to
there
be
you
honest.
Go. And we'll see you next week, same time. Have
same
a good
time,
weekend,
same
everybody.
Place. Go and pack. Root for the Wolfpack. It is football season, everyone.
Yeah.
Get out there. Get pumped. Let's get ready. It's here.
Go Pack. Peace.